We just celebrated 9 years as a church family a month ago, and so there's just so much to celebrate and to look forward to. And there's a great legacy that has gone before us that we want to continue to build on and pass on to others. And so this month, as we look ahead and think about this 5 weeks from now, I want to just remind us of our purpose and our calling as a church family, and to invite you to lean into who God's called you to be. And you could have just moved to this city and begin to take a couple of steps, and God can use you for great impact. We say this almost every week, that we're passionate about you and connecting you to community. And community is not always easy. It's not always just found. It takes work. And we want to partner with you in that and to connect you to others around you. And so we believe we love the city, and there are great ways to engage it. And so we want to invite you into that. So why do we do this? Why do we go? Well, the word go is a big part of our mission here at DCC that God has called us to. And so why is it so important? Well, I want to walk us through that today, because this is connected to who God is and who he's made you to be. And so God, number one, is, you know, just to begin with, he set this as an example. Like, this is who he is. And as you experience God, there is a God who went out for us. Like, his only position, really, to you and I is a giving God. He doesn't need anything of us. If God is God and he is all, you know, he is everything, then he doesn't need anything. And so he is always in a giving position to us. And it's what we need. It's the best thing for us. And so he set it as an example. Let me read you this. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. Ephesians 1, 3 through 8. And it says this. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness." Before I just keep reading, I love that phrase, and it's all throughout Scripture, that who is God and his heart for us? He is a rich God, rich in kindness and love. He is rich in kindness and grace. He is full of that. Like, he's wealthy in that. There's an abundance of kindness and grace. That's the God who loves us. And it's so great that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. What a beautiful statement of the heart of God in his pursuit of us. From the beginning, it was his plan to send Christ to us, to go to us, to give his life, to sacrifice, become a servant to us, and to give his life for us, to adopt us into his family. So from the beginning, he has been pursuing you and I. And he went to us. His position was a life that was going. Jesus' life itself was an example of going. And that it brings joy. It brings purpose. It brings life. There's so much that happens when any of us do this and live life this way. Now, it's not always easy, because that means that we don't do everything for ourselves. And so we need to see this and be reminded. But this is part of God's nature. We believe that we serve we have a God who is one, the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, such in unity with one another that they are one. And it's a core part of our theology, and it's essential because it shows a God who is so like loving and sacrificing one another, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. It speaks to a relational God. It's so key, and that He desires for you and I to experience this as well. And so this is His example for you and I. And we want to do the same. We want to learn to live out that example. We want to be with our neighbors. It was so fun. When Christ came, He lived life with those who were religious and who were not religious. And all of them, you know, many of them loved being around Him, especially those who felt like they were outcast or they were incredibly sinful. It says over and over, and we'll see this here in a couple different passages. But He engaged them in parties. He lived life with them. And you should do the same. Part of God, that's a cool part of living God. Is that's why we throw a celebration at the end of Go Jersey City. We party together. That's, I think, God's made us for that purpose. We want to be with our neighbors. We should be with them. We want to love them. Depending on where you live, you know, usually you're racing to the door of the building or the hallway. You know, we typically many times avoid others and the conversations and so on and so forth. And so it takes some thoughtfulness. And there's no way that any of this happens just in the context of gathering here like this on Sunday. Now, this is important for us to be family here and to worship together. There's great joy and purpose in this. And it's one of my favorite times of the week to be here as a family together like this. This is important. But that's not our only calling, and there's no way that this living this purpose out only happens within this setting. We are called to go, and God knows this and has called you and I to this. So as we see and hear His example, I wanted to just share with you, and I want to be real pretty normal here today, I believe three things. And how we do this together, and why it's so important for your life. And what's so great about this today is you can have lived here for 10 years, your entire life, or you just moved into a place last week. And you can begin to live this out in very simple ways. And I think that's what's so beautiful about this. And so the first one is this, is we go, because it is, and I've already alluded to this, it's who He's called you to be. It is who He's called you to be. It is part of how you experience this in your life. And so one of the most significant passages in Scripture is Luke 15. And Luke records this incredible interaction that Christ had with those who were very religious. And they were all about the rules and keeping in these things. And Jesus wanted to show us the heart of God. And a central part of how we live our lives out here in a downtown community in this city is Luke 15. And so Jesus begins to engage them, and He shares with them three stories in a row. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But it's significant about who He's made us to be, His calling for you and I. And so it begins this way. And it's a fascinating start. So Luke 15, we'll do the first 10 verses. And it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. Now, I could probably do an entire conversation just on that sentence on a Sunday. And I'm not going to do that today. But one fascinating thing, just as an aside, you many times see like two versions of their perspective of people who are annoying or bad. Tax collectors and notorious sinners. Now, if you work for the IRS and you're here today, we're glad that you're here. But, you know, we don't like giving our money away, right? The government and being taxed, that's just kind of a theme throughout history. And so this is no different. But especially in that culture, they were under the Roman government, and it was very corrupt. And you know, the Roman government wanted a certain piece of the money, and they didn't care how they got it, and they had a whole structure, and it was tiered down. And each person just wanted their piece, and they would usually add on to that. And so when it got down to the actual person going to them, he would ask for certain money, and they would just kind of, ask for more than they needed. They were known for cheating. And so it was a great disdain for that. Now we just, do it online. There's not a person necessarily to be seen, but that was a very personal. That would be interesting, right? And so they knew who they were, and then they were sinners. All right, so... I mean, this is significant because it says notorious sinners. And so those who are religious, have said, oh, yeah, look how bad that they are. And that is where Jesus loved to be. And it says they often came to listen to Jesus teach. And so that should be what our church is known for as well. That's his example. And so this made the Pharisees and the teacher of religious law complain that he was associating with such people. And not only that, eating with them. He was accused of eating and drinking with them. How dare he actually go and talk to people? And so this was a common thing for Christ. And so he's seeing this happen. And so Jesus begins to address this, and he shares with them this story is what it says. So Jesus told them this story. He says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go and search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. And when he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. And then he says this, in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. And he's just showing us the heart of God, saying he is going after the one. He's a very personal God. He's like, don't you understand how important this is? How crucial this is. And so to illustrate this importance, he shares this similar story. He says, suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Now, in their time, what did that represent? Like a lot of money, like a month's wage. Suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one, so a significant amount of money. Basically, imagine losing your paycheck. There you go. He says, won't she light a lamp or sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin. And so she's like throwing a celebration because she's found this. Because in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels even when one sinner repents. And then the next story, we won't read this part, is a famous parable of the lost sons. And we have two sons and one blows it. He asked for his father's inheritance, and it would have been a gripping story. And you have another son who stays faithful and obedient to his God, and they both get mad. And there's the one son who represents religious people who's just so mad at the father forgiving the prodigal son who went away. And you have the prodigal son who blew it all, yet God, the father, forgave him and brought him back into the family. And so he was just kind of he was just exposing to those who are religious. He's like, don't you understand that you were lost too, that you needed God, and you have found him. And be careful that you suddenly don't forget that. and his love for you and for those who are far from God, that he is constantly pursuing us and loving us. And Jesus was known for being with those who were far from God. And if there was anybody who had the right to condemn, if there was anybody that had the right to condemn, it was him, the only one who actually lived a perfect life. Yet instead of doing that, he leaned into them and took the place of condemnation himself. It is why he came. And so he is pursuing us. And it is the example that he's called us to be. And we are to be like him. It is who he's called you to be. And to be like him, we do that. Why is that? Because he uses us to lead others back to him. It's part of his plan and purpose for us. And so that leads us into the second thing, is this is how he leads you. When you take steps towards him and you begin to go, it is how he begins to lead you in your life. And there are desires that you have, and there's giftings that you have. And as you begin to do that, he will unlock those, and you'll experience that. It is part of how we experience God. It cannot just be in getting from him. Part of your experience from God is also the going. It's not just an internal thing. It's an external thing. And it's how he will lead your life. And so he showed this to us as well when Christ was here. And so we find this in Luke chapter 10. The first three verses here. It says this. It says, "The Lord now chose 72 other disciples and sent them ahead in pairs to all the towns and places he planned to visit. These were his instructions to them. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." And what does he say? "Now go. And remember that I am sending you as lambs among wolves." He is sending us. And I think a lot of times we think, well, I just need to grow and I need to do these things. And we look inward. But there's a truth that you'll never experience those things until you go. It's the steps of faith. And that is where we experience God, and that's where we experience purpose and joy. And many times it'll feel opposite of what you want to do. And listen, it's not always easy. I mean, that escalates very quickly. He's like, "Remember, I'm sending you," and we're like, "Man." And he's like, "As lambs among wolves," and then it's like, "Whoa." He understands. It's an interesting world out there. He's with us. And it's how he leads you. He said a similar statement. This is found in John 20. And this is after his death and resurrection. So his disciples had watched him die, which they were not expecting, and they were devastated. And then all of a sudden, he rises from the grave, just like he told them that he would. And he has appeared with them. And in this unbelievable and incredible moment, listen to what Christ said. John 20, verses 19 through 22, it says, "That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They had watched them kill the Son of God. And here they were, afraid. And suddenly it says, Jesus was standing there among them. 'Peace be with you,' he said." And I love this. In the moment of fear, Jesus comes and says, "Peace be with you." And it says, "As he spoke, he showed them his wounds and his hands and his side. And they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, 'Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you.' And he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Isn't that incredible? He says, "As the Father has sent me, Christ went to us. And then he says, now you go and as that example. He leads us to go. And so this is what we want to encourage you to do as well. And I've really already been kind of expanding on this. But that leads us into the third thing. It's how you experience purpose. It's how you experience purpose. It's part of how God has made you. And I would say for every one of us here, we have something in our hearts that we think about with God, that you go to him in prayer about. And whether wherever you're at in the spectrum of your life right now, but you might say I'm a Christian, I'm a Christ follower, and I'm pursuing him. Or you might be on that journey. But I would say if you're here today, that you probably are thinking about God in some way, or you'll say a prayer. God, help me with this. And we just kind of wait. But part of how, whatever that is for you, is answered. It is engaging with others, engaging in community, and taking steps towards him. And so it's how you experience that purpose. And that's how God wants to lead your life. And so that's what he's given to us. And so then, you know, Jesus appeared before his disciples. And then right before he returned back into heaven, he gathered with all the believers. And it was, we estimated, you know, Paul says it's around 500 people that saw Christ before he went back into heaven after his resurrection. And this is what he says to them. This is found in Matthew 28. And this is one of our great purpose statements as a church. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Which every one of them been like, yes. They just witnessed him be crucified and rise from the grave. It's like they had witnessed his miracles and all of his statements. And so they're all in one accord that, yes, you are the Son of God. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So what does he do with this authority as he leads us? Here's what he does. He sends us out. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And with this authority, he reveals his plan was to send us out. And there's a greater work that all of us can do throughout our world than just him individually. That his plan from the beginning was to send us out. And so he says, therefore, go. Make disciples and baptize them. Teach them to obey. And he says, but I am with you always. I am always with you. He didn't promise that it would be easy, but he did promise that he would be with us. And so it's how we experience his purpose for us. That when you obey, when you take steps and you engage in the church family, or when you serve, when you go, God is faithful in that. And it's part of how you've been made to be. And so how do you do this? What are steps that you can take? Well, one is be part of Go Jersey City. You know, we've talked about that already, but you will have, you know, a lot better, you know, you will have a greater time. You'll enjoy it way more if you invite your friends to do it with you, because they're going to love it. This is the most non-churchy thing, if you think about it in religious ways, you know, that, you know, we may do all year, and it's a great opportunity for you to have fun with them and to live life with that. Usually, Go Jersey City is 50% those who are part of DCC and 50% those who are not. And we have people that are in our community right now that look forward to this day and doing it with us. And it's a great open door for you to go. And it's also how we should be loving this city. And we've been developing these relationships over a long time with many organizations. And so we look forward to engaging with them again this year. But it's not just you attending. But this is you engaging with this. This is our church together. It's not just me leading us. If I try to invite everybody to go, it's going to be a terrible event. This is what you make of it. And as you lead into your purpose as a church family, God is using you and us together. So this is how we engage this. So when it comes to Go Georgia City, how are you, who can you invite? Now, if you just move to the city, you grew off the hook. Unless you know people. But for many of us here, you know someone. And so in the weeks ahead, as we print cards and we have other places, there's things that you can do. That is one thing that you can do. Another is to serve. To serve God's family. So let me actually, before I get too far into this, as we end this time together, there's three things that I always encourage you to do. How do we go? One is to pursue God. One is to pursue God. If you're far from God or on that journey, how can you continue to take steps towards Him? If you want to know more about what it means to follow Christ, I'd love to talk with you about that. You can check that on your connection card or find me after the service, and I'd love to continue and engage that conversation with you. You are invited into that journey to continue to engage with us. How can you pursue God? Maybe it's joining a dinner group, and that's the second thing, is be part of His family, to be part of the body of Christ, as Christ calls it. As we gather on Sunday, we have dinner groups that meet during the week, men's and women's groups that you can join and be part of. That's a great way to be in community with others, be part of connection events, fun events that we throw. But another is to serve in a Sunday team. We gather here each Sunday, and there is a great opportunity to be part of our kids' team and teaching and being part of that. We love our families. If being part of hospitality, if you're a behind-the-scenes person, that's a great place to be, to love and to create great spaces, to be part of our connection team. If you love to connect with others, you know, God wants to use you in that way. If you're a musician, to audition, to be part of our worship team, or to be part of our production team. We have people that are just somewhere in the building making words appear, and lights come on, and sound happen. And as a body of Christ, when, you know, Jesus said the harvest is great, but the workers are few, that is almost always true. Our body, our family here in this church family needs you, so you can be part of this mission. And it makes a great impact. And so you can serve. And you can give financially. Some of you are like, I work 80 hours a week. But you may have the ability and the gift to give. And we are supported completely, 100% by you. Nothing is free in this city. And we pay staff. I'm employed full-time by you, and I'm thankful for that. We have part-time staff. We rent this space. And we love that because our rent money goes to impact the community. We rent our office space. Go Jersey City costs thousands of dollars to do it well. And so you can make an impact by giving. And so be part of His family through being in a community, through our gatherings, through taking steps. Come to be part of our welcome gathering today if you've not done that already. And then number three is to love others. To take steps to love others and your neighbors. And this takes time. One great way to love others is to throw a party. To throw a party. Because that's what Jesus did. Or go to parties. As your pastor, I give you permission to go to parties. I went to one last night, just so you know. I'm living this out and doing my duty. To love and be in our city. And so you may not know how to do that. Well, we'll show you. We'll connect you to others. You'd be amazed just by being part of a thing like Go Georgia City, who you'll meet that lives near you, that you have things in common with. We pursue God, we join in His family, and we love others. So what step can you take? Because Christ has shown us, God has shown us that by example, this is what brings life. We live in a troubled world. I don't know if you've noticed. And so, how do we respond to that? Well, we are obedient and faithful to what God has put in front of us now. And what an amazing city to be in right now, at this time. And so let's lean in together. You don't have to do this or go through this alone. You are invited to be part of this family because it's who God's made you to be, who's how he leads you, and how you will experience purpose. And so what steps can you take? If you've been attending on Sunday for a while, take the step to serve or be in a dinner group. Maybe it, for you it's coming back. Be part of our welcome gathering, and then go from there. I cannot wait to live life with you a month from now, and 6 months from now, and 10 years from now. All those things. You never know what God will do when you're faithful to what we've learned today. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your words to us, words of life. And not only that, your example, that you live this out in front of us, that you've done everything you've asked us to do. And God, our lives are full, and many times we don't always have the chance to think about this. And maybe we think it couldn't happen, or maybe there's things that seem impossible in our lives. And God, I pray that we would know that you know about that. And I pray that we would be obedient to the simple things, knowing it leads to the others, that we would pursue you, be part of a family, church family, and to love our neighbors, to love you and to love others. I pray that we would experience the joy of this and the purpose of this. God, I thank you for the month ahead. I pray that as we go into this season of going, that you would be with us, that our neighbors would come, and that your will be done in this city. We thank you and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.